This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Richwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us here on Radio Sunderland for Hospitals.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
As today is Bible Sunday, I'll be asking, is the Bible true and is it relevant in today's world? There are those who treat the Bible as simply a book gathering dust on their shelves, and there are those who see some truth in it, but they question it as wholly authentic. There are those for whom it's a rule book to refer to, a compass by which to chart their lives, and there are those who actually live it. What do we really know about the Bible? I once read an amazing book called Is the Bible True? By Amy Orr Ewing, who is a modern-day theologian, and many of the facts I share today come from her book. But first, let's listen to a lovely song by Amy Grant, Thy Word is a Light Unto My Path.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I feel afraid, think I've lost my way, still you're there right beside me. Nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And I will not forget your love for me, and yet my heart forever is wandering. Jesus, be my guide and hold me to your side, and I will love you to the end.
The Bible wasn't written by a single author, but by 40 writers, all from different walks in life, and it was written over a period of 1,500 years, and yet there remains one central message consistently carried by all of them, that God, who created us all, desires a relationship with us. He calls us to know him and trust him. Unlike other religious writings, the Bible reads as a news account of real events, places, people and dialogue. And historians and archaeologists have repeatedly confirmed its authenticity. Names of government officials, kings, cities and festivals mentioned in the Bible have been discovered, sometimes when historians didn't even think such people or places existed. The Gospel of John tells of Jesus healing a cripple next to the pool of Bethesda. The text even describes five porticos or walkways leading to the pool. Scholars didn't think such pools existed until archaeologists in the 19th century found it 40 feet below the ground. It was a rectangular pool with two basins separated by a wall, thus a five-sided pool, and each side had a portico. There are many other examples like this. So is the Bible true? Can we believe its promises? Archaeology says we can. Here's a lovely song by Stuart Townend, Every Promise.
From the breaking of the dawn to the setting of the sun, I will stand on every promise of your word. Words of power strong to say, that will never pass away. I will stand on every promise of promise of your word. When I stumble and I sin, condemnation pressing in, I will stand on every promise of your word. You are faithful to forgive, that in freedom I might live. So I'll stand on every promise of your word.
When people read first-hand eyewitness accounts of an event, and that their report is backed up by evidence, they're more likely to sit up and take notice and accept the words of one who was there at the time. One of my favourite books as a teacher teaching history was a book called They Saw It Happen. It was full of eyewitness accounts. When American General Eisenhower was asked to inspect the Nazi death camps at the close of World War II, he visited every corner of these places and spoke of the indisputable evidence of Nazi brutality. He sent communications back to record for all time the truth of what he saw, just in case someone in the future disbelieved that it all occurred. Not only that, but his words were backed up by evidence, thousands of letters, memos, bills, registers, orders, speeches, confessions were found to their cruelty with regard not only to the Jews, but also to gypsies, to homosexuals, autistic people, and so on. There were also many eyewitnesses, survivors and SS perpetrators, local townspeople, high officials. There were photographs and aerial images taken by photographers on both sides. Then there were the ruins and remains of the camps themselves, and the demographics from pre-World War II era, which testify that approximately 6 million Jews had disappeared. You see, when lines of converging evidence like this are so huge, it's undeniable. And yet there are still those on all this evidence that deny the Holocaust happened, but the proof is there for all to see. Let me focus now on New Testament accounts in particular, written also by eyewitnesses. It's important for us to know when it was written, and we'll do that after the next song. Lord, Thy Word Abideth, sung here by the Scottish Festival Singers.
Word of mercy, give.
St. Luke's writing of Acts stops abruptly with Paul in prison awaiting trial, and it's thought likely that Luke wrote Acts during this time, leading up to Paul's trial before Caesar. Also, there's no mention in his or any of the writings of the apostles of the actual fall of Jerusalem in 70 AD. Only the prophecies by Jesus were written about it. So for this reason, academics date his writing, both the Gospel and Acts, within the years 62 to 3 AD. That is within 30 years of the ministry and death of Jesus. If most of these Gospels and letters were written within 30 or 40 or 50 years even of Jesus' death, what can we who are older remember from a similar period of time? Let's take the Beatles as an example. About 40 years ago, if you were alive then, you'll remember that John Lennon was murdered. About 50 years ago, the group John Lennon was part of, the Beatles, the most popular and influential musical groups in history, were disbanded in 1970. And just under 60 years ago, the Beatles first became famous. I remember buying their records. I remember seeing them play on television at concerts to hordes of hysterical fans. You couldn't hear what they were singing for the screaming that went on and on. I clearly remembered all, even the words of their songs. Not only this, but two of the Beatles are still alive today, Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr. The other Beatle, George Harrison, died of cancer in 2001. But going back to the New Testament history, St. John was still alive when the early documents were circulating around the churches at the time. He lived to a grand old age and could have easily objected if certain facts had been written incorrectly. But he didn't. He had no reason to. And his gospel was different to the others. He didn't need to repeat the history and the letters that were going around. He wrote a more personal account of Jesus. Now, if you don't believe these Beatle facts, then do you believe that people my age believe them? There's the question. Let's have another hymn, again by the Scottish Festival Singer, some good old-fashioned hymns this time about the Word of God. This is Thou Whose Almighty Word.
Let's pray.
The early churches protected and preserved the writings of the apostles and the gospels from the very time of the apostles' presence with them. Whilst letters and books were written also sent around these churches and translated in languages like Latin, Greek, Syriac, Coptic, Sahidic, Arabic, Ethiopic, Armenian, and many others. The fact that these were all widely known meant that one part of the church could act as a check and balance with each other. The only way in which they vary, if at all, is with one or two spelling errors or an occasional different word. But even today, modern translations record these variants in the margin. But we also have proof from some letters by the early church fathers at the end of the first century. The Epistle of St. Clement in AD 95 refers to verses from the Gospels, Acts, Romans, Corinthians 1, Ephesians, Titus, Hebrews, and 1 Peter. Letters of Ignatius, dated 115 AD, written to several churches in Asia Minor, quote verses from Matthew, John, Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, and so on. And then, what about the Bible's worth as an inspirational book? The Bible is the book of life, so people say. It leads to life. It enriches our life. It's described as a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. In Psalm 119, it brings peace to chaos. It was actually a ship's Bible that turned unruly life around in the midst of the blood, chaos and feuds by the surviving mutineers on Pitcairn Island after the mutiny on the Bounty. There are countless examples of lives being turned around for the good. St. Paul, in his letter to the Hebrews, chapter 4, described the Word of God like this. The Word of God is alive and active. Sharper than any double-edged sword, it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. You see, for many, it's not that it's been read and found wanting, but that it's just not been read at all. But when you read it, you soon feel God's peace. Here's one of my songs called My Soul Finds Its Rest in God Alone.
My soul finds its rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock, and He is my fortress, and I will never be shaken. Thank you.
But what about the wealth of documentary evidence too? There is no other document like the New Testament. There are thousands of Greek manuscripts of the New Testament, 10,000 Latin manuscripts, and over 9,000 early portions of the New Testament. There are around 24,000 early manuscript copies of portions of the New Testament. There are complete parchment copies of the New Testament, dating from 325 to 450 AD. Also fragments and papyrus copies from 180 to 225 AD. They exist copied from original documents, and a fragment was even found in the desert sands of a papyrus of John 18, dated 130 AD. No other document from antiquity even approaches this huge amount, yet we never question the other historical documents. If we doubt New Testament history, then we must also doubt all the others, the volume of which comes nowhere near the New Testament. The amount of time from the original writing to manuscript fragment was a period of 25 years, whereas other histories were 500 years, 800 years, and 1,000 years apart. I wonder if you remember this next song written by Pete Seeger and Lee Hayes in 1949 and made famous in the 60s. It's called If I Had a Hammer. The prophet Jeremiah described the word of God as such, for when we actually read it, it hits us with force, just like a hammer. This one's sung by Peter, Paul and Mary.
If I had a hammer, I'd hammer in the morning, I'd hammer in the evening, all over this land. I'd hammer out danger, I'd hammer out a warning, I'd hammer out a love between my brothers and my sisters all over this land.
Well, if I had a bell, I would ring it in the morning, and I would ring it in the evening, all over this land.
I'd ring out danger, I'd ring out a warning, I'd ring out a love between my brothers and my sisters all over this land.
Now if I had a song, I would sing it in the morning, I would sing it in the evening, all over this land.
I'd sing out danger, I'd sing out a warning, I'd sing out a love between my brothers and my sisters all over this land.
In AD 393, there was a large council which met to affirm all these gospels and letters that had been around for some time. They rejected jumbled up confusing ones and works of heresy. But by this time, these 27 books that went into the New Testament already had that authority. They didn't, as some think, pick and choose which books to include. They were affirming these books and letters which had already been around for centuries. The fact that the scriptures were written, warts and all, adds to its authenticity as well. It records people's weaknesses, their cowardice, their denials, and their outspokenness. It records a woman becoming the first apostle when she ran to take the good news of Jesus' resurrection to men who were in hiding and afraid. Also, there were the followers who were willing to die for the truth of the Word of God. Would they have been as willing to die for a lie? I wonder what your opinion of it is now. It is said that we are the only Bible some people will ever read. That should wake us up to the fact that we must share it, and if we do, it will never return to God empty without accomplishing all it was meant to do for that person. So it says in Isaiah 55, which is the title of my final song from my album Kaleidoscope of Characters. I hope you enjoy it. We enjoyed recording it. That's all we have time for. Andrew Ridgwick, would you like to say goodbye?
Bye, everyone.
This is my technician, and from me as well. Have a good week, everyone. Bye-bye for now.
See the rain and the snowfall coming down from heaven. See it journey to the ground below. Watering the earth, see it bud and flourish. Yielding all the seed that the sower has to sow. Here to teach you.